This is the Grant and Jimmy podcast. Here's Grant and Jimmy. This is a short minute with Jimmy.
What do you got, Jimmy?
So yesterday was a very special day for Grant Johnson. The big 3-5. You know, as most people know, he's now a husband, a father of three, the head of the Johnson Family Petting Zoo, and, you know, one of the funniest guys, you know, you could ever meet. He even makes me laugh when making fun of me.
Teasing me. Not making fun of, teasing.
Oh, no, you're full of tease, making fun of. Forget that noise. You know, I hope you had a great day yesterday, and happy birthday, my friend.
Thank you, Jimmy.
And may you have many more.
And I'll give myself the birthday horn. There we go.
Happy birthday, Grant.
Thanks, Jimmy. It was a good weekend. We spent it on the farm, did lots of... we finally successfully trained the ducks to come in to their house when I play Closing Time by Semisonic. So
they actually do come in, no?
It was a successful birthday weekend. Thanks, Jimmy. Cruise mornings with Grant and Jimmy. Guess it's Earth Day today, Jimmy. Are you doing your part? Take care of the Earth?
I was actually going to talk to you about that. Now that you're living on an acreage, could I just send my garbage with you and you could just burn it?
No. You got to take care of your own garbage there. You just leave it in your house anyways, which is kind of green. Right? You just leave it in there, and then it doesn't hurt the earth at all. Just stinks up your apartment. I actually was thinking you don't do enough because you don't drive a car, which means you're not paying that much carbon tax, which means you're not helping out, right?
I am helping out because I take public transit. That is one way of helping out because of less carbon footprint.
But you're not paying more carbon tax, and that's the only way to save the earth. So you should get a car, drive it, burn gas, pay more carbon tax, give more money to Trudeau so that he can turn around and then use that money to save us all.
Or why don't I just pay for your gas?
Yeah, maybe we could do that. Yeah. The burning garbage thing, that is an interesting debate because
you're not putting garbage in the landfills.
Just the smoke disappears.
Yeah, and it's fine. Not like we're burning tires or anything.
Or styrofoam.
Yeah.
That smoke's a little too black. Earth Day today. Turn your lights off or take a shorter shower or something, I guess. Good morning. How's she going? So they're going ahead with the Naked Gun remake, okay?
Looking at it, I'm not a fan so far what they've made announcements of doing.
Well, it kind of feels like something they shouldn't be doing, like almost like a joke. Liam Neeson. Like,
how can you have Liam Neeson
the taking
naked
guy?
I have a special set of skills.
And
I
the will guy find that's you. Killing kill wolves and driving snowplows. Liam Neeson is going to be playing the Leslie Nielsen role, starring in it. The big announcement recently, though, was that Pamela Anderson is going to be in it, too, which I kind of like. I don't know, that
makes no sense to me either, because they had, what's her name? Priscilla Presley was the original one. And I don't know, Pam. Maybe.
There's some similarities there. Priscilla Presley and Pam Anderson. That works for me. That casting.
Because Pamela Anderson's role at the end of the Baywatch remake was kind of funny.
Didn't watch that, but she was great in Borat. I know that. There must be a lot of pressure for Liam Neeson, though. Like, he's done some big acting jobs before, but imagine trying to follow in Leslie Nielsen's shoes. You can't do it. It's such a unique style of delivering those, like, bad jokes, but funny at the same time.
Do you remember OJ was in the Naked Guns?
Well, and that's what I was going to say. The other thing is OJ's dead. Yeah. How do you remake Naked Gun without OJ? I'm sure they would have gotten him, right? Would have made his return to acting.
Denzel.
I was going to say Cuba Gooding Jr. He played him in the Jury TV show. He can do it.
3-2 Jimmy at the movies.
I shall call him Minnie.
I will not be ignored.
It's like Minute at the Movies, but shorter.
What movie did you watch, Jimmy?
It was Stephen King's It from...
Come on up, Richie. I got a balloon for you. Don't you want a balloon?
So the original It.
The original.
Not the new one. This is 50 years of Jimmy. So we were on year 1990, right?
Yes.
All right.
Okay, this wasn't as scary as I remember.
No.
When I was younger, it used to freak me out, like especially like the clown, and then when he turned into that big spider looking thing. And but there was a lot of big actors in that I totally forgot about, like John Ritter, Seth Green, Tim Curry, Jonathan Brandis, Harry Anderson. He's from Night Court. Tim Curry was so creepy though. Like, yeah. Wow. Even as a clown, it was just...
He's a great actor.
Yeah.
He pulls that off well, yeah. But it is kind of like, I know I've watched it recently, and it's pretty dated and pretty not cheesy. Really scary anymore. That one scene where he's like in the bathroom and he's on top of the stall, just always made me laugh. I don't know.
Yeah, that one... It was creepy. It wasn't scary. It was just creepy.
And like, have you watched the new one?
No, I...
That one, like those ones, there's two of them. Those are scary. Those mess with your mind.
Okay,
where,
I'm definitely not doing that.
You go back and watch the old 1991, which was originally like a two-part miniseries too.
Yeah, it was
something.
On TV. Yeah. The first one was released on the 18th, which was my birthday at the time. Yeah. And then... couple days later was the other one.
So was it long? Was it like 3 hours long?
Yeah, it was about 3 hours.
Oh yeah,
because you know, as it did, it was when they were a kid, and then as they like jumping back and forth, and then yeah, I gave it a one.
Wow. Yeah,
like it again. It wasn't scary. It was just creepy and a little freaky at points. But yeah, I gave it a one out of five.
One buttery cob of Tabor corn out of five. For the original It. So later in the show, we'll choose a movie from 1991. Cruise Mornings, Grant and Jimmy. This Joe Biden story is... Oh, Sleepy Joe stopped talking sometimes. He was talking about how his uncle was eaten by cannibals. Did you see that?
Oh, really?
So the Prime Minister of Papua New Guinea is mad because Biden was speaking at something. I don't know what it was. Something and... He was talking about how his uncle was a fighter pilot during World War II, and he was shot down over Papua New Guinea, but they never found the body because there was a lot of cannibals in the area.
Wow.
The Papua New Guinea Prime Minister is like, hey, could you not imply that we're all cannibals on this island, please? Could you chill with that? Like, that sounds like a cool thing to maybe, like, if you're at the bar and you want to, like, try to... Sound cool. You bring that up in conversation. Like,
my dad was shot down in a plane and eaten.
They never found the body. You know, there's a lot of cannibals in that area. But when you're the president of the United States.
Maybe don't say it to the president of the country.
Starts up a whole other world. You can kick off like world issues around the globe because of your story. This is the best. This is what we got in the world leading us.
Wow.
My uncle was eaten by cannibals.
The Grant Report. Brought to you by iFurniture. Better, cheaper, smarter. Visit iFurniture.ca. Now, Grant Johnson.
Here we go. Game one of the playoffs. Woo! This is just your reminder today to pace yourself tonight. I know we're all excited about the playoffs, but it's hopefully going to be a long and fruitful playoff run. So don't give her too hard on game one of round one. Because Gary Bettman hates us, and he made game one for the Oilers on a Monday. Now, we all know that the NHL playoffs are also known as it's okay to be hungover at work season, but you do want to pace yourself. And also make sure you're prepared. By now, even though we're talking about pacing yourself and being in control, you should probably know yourself, and you should know that you're probably going to get carried away tonight. It's just the way she goes. So what you need to do is be an adult about this. Head to Costco this afternoon, pick up a flat of Gatorade and a Costco-sized bottle of Tylenol. You're going to need it. No more lying to yourself. Just be prepared instead. And go Oilers! This hangover is for you. Cruise Mornings with Grant and Jimmy on 95.7 Cruise FM. And Jimmy, you're a little disturbed this morning because there was a Spice Girls kind of reunion on the weekend and there was something about it that disturbed you. No!
I'm either the same age or older than a lot of them. Like, Victoria Beckham is turning 50. She turned 50 on the weekend.
Yeah, it was her birthday, right? That they had, like, this surprise reunion at.
And I was looking, and I'm older than some of them.
Does that make you feel like... How does that make you feel? Old?
That makes me feel
young.
Like... Yeah. Like, see? Real old. Like, Mel B is 48. Yeah. Baby Spice, she's 48.
So when the Spice Girls were really big in the 90s, did you realize that you were the same age as them?
No, not even close. Like, I'm in high school, and they're a successful band.
Yeah, well, to be fair, you were 25 in high school. I mean, you had to do a couple years a couple times, so.
Not quite.
Here's what makes me feel old. So I just had my birthday, turned 35, and then I see everyone talking about Sidney Crosby's season that he had for the Penguins. And he's 36, and they're talking about how old he is and how well he did. He's ancient. That guy is so old.
And you're the same age.
I'm like, what? He's Sid the Kid. We're still young. We're still hip. Cruise mornings with Grant and Jimmy, 95.7 Cruise FM. Have you heard of the Seinfeld theory with politics?
Not till you just mentioned it to me.
It's trending. It's like the number one trending thing right now in Canada because this guy came up with this theory, and it's kind of interesting. I saw it and thought it was interesting. Anyway, so Seinfeld famously lasted 9 seasons, and then it ended. After 9 seasons, they were done with it. And the Seinfeld theory, that I don't know if this guy just came up with it or if he's just kind of talking about it and making it popular, is how long we keep leaders in Canada. So Brian Mulroney lasted 9 seasons. Crescent did 10. Stephen Harper, 9. And now the reason they're talking about this is because Trudeau is at number 9. He's in his 9th season, is what they say. And say,
oh, wow.
So they're saying it's likely he'll be canceled coming up here pretty soon. Nobody lasts longer than 9-10 seasons, is what the theory is. So
there have been longer, like what some of the earlier prime ministers, like Pierre Trudeau, 15 years.
Yeah, yeah, he got extended. He's like Curb Your Enthusiasm to Seinfeld because Seinfeld lasted 9 seasons, and then Larry David, who created Seinfeld, went on to have Curb Your Enthusiasm for like double the amount that they ever did Seinfeld.
William Lyon Mackenzie.
I don't even know who that is.
He was one of the earlier ones in the early.
Is that bad?
21. He was 21 years. John A. Macdonald, our first prime minister, was 18 years.
It's kind
almost 19.
The William Lyon Mackenzie. He was a prime minister?
Really?
William Lyon Mackenzie?
Yes.
I don't know. Have you seen that bit? There's a comedian who talks about how if he went back in time, that he wouldn't be able to prove that he's from the future. Because they'd be like, who's the next president?
I don't know.
Yeah, we got these things in our pocket that give us all the information in the world. How do they work?
You would be that guy. Like when it comes to Canadian politics, I would know. American, I wouldn't have a clue.
Yeah.
But Canadian,
most days
I would
you don't
have
know
an
your
idea.
Name.
But when it comes to politics, I'm a little bit smarter than just my name.
Who is the leader of the Reform Party in 1998, Jimmy?
That would have been of. He's not dead.
Rest in peace, Preston, man.
Yes.
The last great politician. Cruise mornings with Grant and Jimmy. Another week, another story about a Boeing plane falling apart in the sky. Have they always been falling apart and we're just paying more attention to it now? Like they're reporting on it? Or are they actually just...
I've never seen so many, like have so many issues like this.
Pieces of crap. Like you'd think an airplane is one of the most, like they spend a lot of time on it. Every bolt, every nut is inspected and accounted for. I have a friend who's a helicopter mechanic, and like when they do maintenance, they have to write down and account for every single thing that they take off and put back on, and like he's got to keep track of everything, so it takes forever. Are they not doing that? did they recently just start cutting corners in the Boeing factory or why? Because there was a flight that had to make a landing in Atlanta this weekend because the aircraft's flaps, which sounds inappropriate but isn't, became misaligned. And so I guess they said this is not a usual problem. Like, it's not some routine thing that happens. So
I'm getting kind of worried because I don't travel much. And this summer, I'm flying to California.
Probably on a Boeing plane. 737. Are you going to be nervous if you look at your plane and it's like one of those 737
Maxes? I think I'm going to have a carry-on parachute.
You might want to. Although you're going to drink 6 or 7 pints of Chili's and then just fall asleep as soon as you get on the plane. So
true.
How would you ever activate your parachute? You'd be sleeping. Out. You'd be sleeping until the plane touches down. Morning's Grant. That's me, Jimmy. That's him. How's she going? This gold heist story from Toronto gets wilder and wilder with the more details that they give. Just a quick recap. A year ago, there was a gold heist at the airport, Pearson in Toronto, where some gold and some cash was delivered from Switzerland. It disappeared on a truck and was never to be found. Last week, they released the name of like suspects, some people they had arrested, and some details about what happened. They released a few more details here. So they think they've tracked down the local jewelry store in Toronto, where they took the $20 million worth of gold and then melted it down and then used that to buy guns.
Oh, wow.
It is such a crazy story. How they tracked down where it went, though, was the guy that was the driver of the truck. So what happened was the gold went to this cargo facility, and then some guy showed up and was like, I'm here to take it. And he drove off with it in a truck. The guy that was driving the truck took off his left glove, touched the paperwork that he signed. And by doing that, he left a thumbprint, which they were then able to track. And that's how they found this jewelry store. It's wild because you always see people being like, thumbprint. We don't actually use fingerprints that much. And, you know, the CCTV cameras aren't that clear. Like, none of that really helps us. But here we are. A prime example. He took his glove off, touched the paperwork, and by that, they were able to track down who he was, where he took the gold, and everything else. It's pretty wild. They said that they turned the gold, so like $20 million worth of gold, into little bracelets that looked cheap. So they purposely made them look like these cheap little gold bracelets so people wouldn't suspect it. But it was really pure gold, and it was worth $20 million. So
were they doing that to smuggle it, like to get it out? Is that why they turned it into the bracelets?
So they could resell it, so they could get it back on the market, I guess. Because you can't really just sell a gold bar. And if they started all of a sudden, this jewelry store all of a sudden started selling, like, you know, big gold chains and stuff, it would probably be too suspicious. So, yeah, it's something to do with so they could smuggle it and it wouldn't cause any red flags or anything. And then they used the money to buy guns, which, what else would you use that much money for? It's bizarre. We've said it before. This will be a Netflix documentary someday. I'm sure of it. Biggest gold heist in Canadian history. How could it not be a Netflix documentary?
This is a Short Minute with Jimmy.
So Clint Eastwood is in the news quite a bit right now. Like,
oh, Clint Eastwood, here we go.
You could ask yourself a question. Do I feel lucky?
What's going on with him?
So a while back, he's 93.
Yeah, he's been 93 for like 10 years, though, I feel. I feel like we've been talking about him being in his 90s for the last 10, 15 years.
And he's still doing movies. Mm-hmm. It's crazy. And he was just made a public appearance at a Jane Goodall event.
She's a woman that lived with the gorillas, isn't she?
Yes.
Okay.
And so he's looking rough, but again, he's 93.
The beard doesn't help him, and the long hair. Like, if he were to trim up that hair and the beard, he would look better. He kind of looks a little homeless right now. You know what I mean? So, yeah, I did see that.
Yeah, but you say I look homeless right now, too, though.
No, not right now. But in at some stages in your life, you do.
And so we have that. And then also what's his name? Tom Cruise is wanting to do a reboot of one of his movies, The Gauntlet. I don't remember ever seeing that one.
The Gauntlet. So he's an alcoholic detective. I can't see Tom Cruise in a Clint Eastwood role.
No.
But, I don't know, Tom Cruise seems to do everything pretty well, so it'd probably be pretty amazing.
Yeah, but I can't... could you imagine Tom Cruise going, "Do you feel lucky, punk?" No.
You don't think he could pull this off?
You could ask yourself a question. Do I feel lucky?
I think he totally could. Yeah. I trust him, Tom.
The Gauntlet.
Yeah, Clint Eastwood, he's looking old. He's 93, almost 94, so... if we look that good in our 90s, Jimmy, we should be lucky. Cruise Mornings, Grant and Jimmy. I was reading about NASA's mission to capture an asteroid named 16 Psyche. So they launched a mission to get this thing back in October, and people couldn't really figure out why. Why do they care so much about that one asteroid until it was revealed that this thing is full of gold, iron, nickel, and valued at $10,000 quadrillion dollars.
Oh, wow.
How is that even a real number? How could they possibly even put that as an estimate? Oh, you see that asteroid up there? It's worth $10 quadrillion. It sounds like a preschooler value, putting value on stuff. Yeah. If they were to capture it, though, if that's what it's actually worth, and this mission is successful, they said if they were to capture it and bring it back to Earth and then divide it up, everyone on Earth could become a billionaire. I'm sure that's what they would do, too. Hey?
Wouldn't that bring in that much money into circulation? Wouldn't that, like, mess up our economies?
Yeah, they said it would completely collapse the world economy. It would destroy us. They said just like if everyone won the lottery. I mean, $1 billion. If everyone had $1 billion, it would become worthless. It would become nothing. And normally they would be interested in sharing the wealth with us too, right?
Yeah, they're all about sharing.
NASA claims they want the asteroid to learn more about how planets are formed. Sure you do.
Yeah, sure.
We're just going to learn about planets. That's it.
You know what they're going to do? They're going to bring the asteroid here and then tax us all on it. We're going to have to pay tax on it. We're not getting any of it.
Well, they'll probably keep it a secret from us because they don't want us finding out how much they have. There will be signs, though. We'll know. If the astronauts' spacesuits are suddenly made of gold with diamonds encrusted in them, we'll know. We're on to you.
Two. Jimmy. At the movies.
I shall call him Minnie.
I will not be ignored.
It's like Minute at the Movies, but shorter.
So it's 50 years of Jimmy. He's reviewing a movie from every year of his life. This week will be 1991. And we're looking for suggestions for a movie from 1991. Daryl texted in.
I say no.
Shakes the Clown. I had never heard of it.
No.
Came out August 1991. It was written and starred, and he starred in it. Bob, I never know how to say his last name. Goldthwait? Bob Goldthwait? Is that how you say it?
Goldthwait? I don't know.
I know who he is. I can just never say his last name.
Yeah.
So he starred in it. Robin Williams was in it. Adam Sandler was in it. Huh.
I think I had enough with clowns with it.
You just reviewed it last weekend.
Yeah, like, come on. Give me a break.
I've never heard of this. Dueling gangs of clowns are pitted against each other in this dark comedy. Shakes, an alcoholic kid's party clown, finds himself framed for murder and must get off the sauce to clear his name. Sounds interesting, but I think there's too many big movies from 1991.
Yeah.
I think if we did Shakes the Clown, we'd lose a few people because 1991, the big film that won all the awards was
Silence of the Lambs.
Hello, Clarice.
But even with that, like, come on, we did horror movies. I'm not a fan.
This isn't a horror movie, is it? It's more of a thriller.
It says right out on it, it's a horror movie.
Silence of the
horror
Lambs.
Horror/crime movie.
I love that movie. Anthony Hopkins' performance in that movie was, like, incredible. The moment when they wheel him into the courtroom, that's Silence of the Lambs when they wheel him in, yeah. And he's got the face covering on, and just with his eyes, he's so scary. So, Silence of the Lambs, I would say, should be up there. Sleeping with the Enemy came out that year. Do you remember that one? That
was
Julia Roberts.
Julia Roberts.
That was a good one. Her husband's trying to kill her. What else came out in 1991? Some John Candy movies. Delirious. Hot Shots came out in 91. Oh, I think we've made you watch that one, though. The Doors movie came out in 91. Ninja Turtles 2, The Secret
Point
of the
Break.
Ooze. Point Break. That was 91. Huh. There's some tough choices here. We have to go Silence of the Lambs, Jimmy. Don't we? JFK came out in 91.
I thought we were saving the horror movies for...
It's not horror. It's just... It's a little creepy. You'll be fine.
Okay, I guess so.
Nice. Monday morning. Jimmy will have a review of Silence of the Lambs. Clarice.
If I'm able to come into work.
This is Show Local Some Love, and we're joined by Danielle from Boys and Girls Club's Big Brothers Big Sisters of Edmonton. Can you tell us what the 100 Men in 100 Days campaign is?
Yeah, it's a campaign to really focus on getting boys off of our wait list. So even though our female mentors are just as important, boys can wait up to 3 years on our wait list. And so, we really just want to focus on trying to get more males so we can get that wait list down.
What does it mean to be a mentor?
People always think that you need, you know, some sort of special skill in order to be a mentor. But we really just say, just show up and be yourself. If you are able to give someone some time, that can be, you know, a huge gift in itself.
Well, where can people go to learn more about getting involved with the 100 Men in 100 Days campaign?
The best thing to do is go to our website at bgcbigs.ca. On there, there's a volunteer tab. It has everything about the program. My information is on there, so if you have any other questions, you can reach out to me. The website is the quickest way to get connected.
That's the end of our podcast, Jimmy.
You can listen to our show tomorrow.
Catch us live every morning on 95.7 Cruise FM.